closures, but the unemployment rate in Ohio is lower than the national average. Like the homes with negative equity is not that high. So there's not this situation where people are going to be like so far underwater because they have more equity in their homes.
It's
And
amazing.
yeah, so I mean, I'm hopeful that it's maybe more people will feel comfortable with the vaccine to sell and that that might settle out a bit. And I'm hoping it's gotta be less crazy because it's so tough for
That's
the buyers. And
surprising.
yeah.
So for someone, most people are saying if you were thinking about selling your house, now's the time to do it. But what I'm hearing is maybe you should hold out for another 6 to 12 months and get that extra boost. I mean, is that
Yeah, it's tough because it seems like there's no time better than now, but
right?
there could be. I mean, more buyers may come on the market too with the more sellers, so it may not necessarily, equal out to better.
Right.
But right now, because there's so many buyers, there's a lot of bidding wars and things going for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 over asking price. I mean, it's out of
Yeah,
control.
it really is.
And that's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're just seeing this
Yeah, pretty much.
everywhere.
Yeah.
Whew,
That's what I'm hearing.
insane.
Well, as competitive as the real estate industry has always traditionally been, obviously COVID has kind of turned things upside down. So, like, what are real estate agents doing right now to kind of separate themselves from, everyone else?
Right. I mean, there's so many realtors out there,
Oh,
and they're
not in a bad way. I just
no, I
like
mean, there
every
is.
networking group I
Everywhere.
go to, half of them
Are
are
real.
realtors, right?
The other half are
Wow.
financial
Yeah.
advisors,
Yeah. Western, Southern, or,
A lot of Edward
Yeah,
Jones.
Edward Jones, yep.
But yeah, I mean, for me, I'm really trying to build a relationship-based business and build those relationships. And I'm trying to, again, come from a place of value and do the education, provide the resources to help, whether it's a first-time home buyer or you're trying to juggle buying and selling, helping you through that and just trying to, be a good communicator and honest and show my dedication and things like that. And there's a lot of part-time realtors out there. Maybe they only sell a couple houses a year. And so they say most realtors don't make it past like the first year or two. So there's a lot of,
Wow, I believe it. It's
yeah,
tough because it's
it's
commission
tough.
only, right?
It's commission only. And it's, they say people think it's easy. And I think that the best way to put it is it's simple, but it's not easy. Like the things you need to do aren't really that hard.
Right.
But you have to do them. You have to do them consistently. You have to have patience. It's tough.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, we're gonna ask. We've got to
What we
know.
do.
Can you share some insight on your marketing strategy?
Yeah, so for me, I think it all boils down to building and maintaining meaningful relationships and providing the value. That's really what I'm trying to do to set myself apart and get my name out there and so forth. So I kind of have three prongs to that I'm focused on this year. One is the Outstanding Ohio Group. Like I said, just trying to provide the value to stay top of mind with my sphere, to grow the sphere and so forth. And then secondly, been focused on how do I make meaningful connections within my sphere and in an authentic way. So, the check-in phone calls, the hey, let's go for a walk, and then sending the birthday cards, Christmas cards, sending out promotional items. I think that they might find value, and I send out little pouches that you could hold a spare mask in, like that kind of thing. Doing some of the random gifting, like kind of the giftology stuff, and just really trying to be present in a way that's useful and valuable to people so that if and when they need a realtor, they hopefully would think of me. And then the third thing I've been doing is farming my neighborhood, which is like the realtor terminology for focusing your marketing efforts like in a geographic area. And I've been doing that through mailers, sending out the promotional items. I've done some door knocking, and that's been pretty successful too. So
I'm not
Wow.
surprised. A hustler.
That is
A hustler
amazing.
for sure.
Yes.
Is it true that, I guess what would you say are some misconceptions of the real estate industry? Because Rose has talked about it before. I know with digital marketing and, we had Joey Wong on, who's a well-renowned auto dealership owner. They have kind of that perception, and I guess real estate would kind of fall into that
I
bucket.
think
So
so.
how do you overcome that?
Yeah, like a negative perception of it, or
Yeah.
yeah. Well, I mean, I talked about how people think that it's easy, and
Right.
I'm not a very salesy person, so I'm not gonna, and I'll tell people that. It's like I didn't bring anything for you to sign. I'm not gonna like use some weird scripts and reverse psychology to like corner you into like signing before I leave. And so I'm just more about the relationship. And if you don't want to work with me, I probably don't want to work with you either. But I think some of the misconceptions, you know, people think, oh, I can just sell it myself, like, especially in this market. And I realize that's tempting, but I do think, and I'm not saying this just because I'm a realtor, that there's a couple benefits to using a realtor in particular is they're going to help you price it right. Like, they know the market, and it's important not to, if you overprice it, it's going to be tough. If you way underprice it, you're going to lose out. But also, they're going to get you more exposure to it through the marketing, through getting it in the MLS. And that's going to drive, you know, higher quality offers and more of them likely. That's where you're going to get into these bidding wars. If you just stick a sign in your yard, yeah, you're going to sell it. But maybe 10 people looked at it instead of 10,000.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, yeah. And then there's just this aspect of, you know, we can help you through the negotiations and things, but the convenience of, you know, once you put that sign in your yard, you're going to get a million agents calling you, trying to get you your listing. People knocking on your door, can I come in and see it right now? Like, do you feel safe about that? I mean, to me, that would be concerning. Yeah. Yeah. And then just being there to help you through the process and the unknowns and, you know, negotiating through inspections and things like that. So I think there is a lot of benefit. And from the buying side, I think there's a misconception that people think, I don't need an agent, or maybe they don't understand that you really, it's usually the seller paying for both the seller's agent and the buyer's agent. So maybe they're hesitant to get an agent because they don't understand it. And some buyers think, well, I'm going to get a better deal if I buy from the listing agent. And the truth is, a lot of listing agents won't cut their commission, or if they are cutting it, the person that's really winning there is the seller,
right?
Not the buyer.
Right.
And so it's important to have that buyer's agent stand behind you and fight for you and have your best interest. Because if you're working with the seller's agent, they have the seller's best interest at heart. So
that's some great, great insight.
It is.
And one of the things that's been really surprising to me, and I hear it all the time, people are buying houses without physically going to, which 5-10 years ago, that's unheard of. And now it's a thing, right?
It's great. And they're waiving inspections, which, I mean,
wow.
Neither one of those things I recommend, but no. People are just trying to get that edge up, or there'll be cases where, hey, I put the house in the MLS today and it's coming soon, meaning it doesn't go active. You can't actually go see it until Saturday. And people will come in and just give you a really high offer and say, it's okay. I'm not going to see it. Like, I'm just going to give you this money because they don't want to, you know, they're just trying to get the house. They're getting desperate. So I don't recommend that, but I get it. These people they've been through a lot. And if you need a house, it's tough.
Wow.
I'm glad I don't right now.
Well, on that case, what advice would you give someone looking to purchase a home today?
Couple things. First of all, you got to get pre-approved right away, like before you start looking at houses, because once you find that house, you got to be ready to put an offer in that day. So there's no time to be like, oh, I wonder if I could get approved for this. Like, get pre-approved. You need to be patient because it could take a couple offers before you get one accepted, and you need to be flexible. A house goes on the market today, you better figure out a way to go see it today. It could be gone tomorrow. Probably will be gone tomorrow.
Man.
So, you know, whether you're running out at lunchtime or going to see it at night or first thing in the morning or whatever it is, you got to have that flexibility. And you may have to be willing to compromise on some things that you wanted because there's just not a lot of options. But I also recommend that you strategize with your realtor before the, you know, 12th hour. You can't say, okay, the house went on, we're going to go see it at noon, offers are due at 4. You can't wait till 3 o'clock to be looking at each other like, well, how do you feel about waiving inspections? And how do you feel about non-refundable earnest money? So I try to do that in the buyer consultation meeting up front. Like, hey, this is the landscape of what's happening. These are the things you should consider. This is, you know, what's better than the next. And let's kind of have that strategy and know what you're willing to do up front so that we can be ready to make the best offer possible when the time comes.
Beautiful. So if somebody that's listening right now wants to hire you, how can they do that?
Yep, they can call me 330-227-4355 or text or email at erin@outstandingohio.com. That's erin@outstandingohio.com. Would love to work with you. Can give you a free market estimate on what your home's worth if you're looking to sell, or sit down with a buyer consultation with you to kind of go over the process and everything else.
Awesome. And like, I've got to ask, so you don't seem like the type of person that's ever going to take a break. So two questions. How do you strike me as just an amazing mother, the arts and craft. You got that whole vibe going on. So how do you separate that work-life balance?
It's tough, you know. It's nice to – I do have the flexibility that I'm there for the important moments, you know. I can take the kids to practice. I was thinking my kids are both playing club volleyball right now, and they have to be at practice at 5. We leave our house at 4:30. If I was still working at American Greetings, which was like an hour drive for me, I would have had to left work at 3:30 – to get them to practice, so it is nice that I'm able to have that flexibility to, you know, get them to practice, watch practices if it's allowed, or, you know, be at their games and things like that. And they're old enough, they're 11 and 13, that it's okay if I'm not there when they get home from school. Sure. And, you know, they're pretty self-sufficient, so it's nice. If they were younger, it would be a lot tougher.
I can't imagine. Sure. I'm sure you can relate to this. You got eight monsters at home. How many are you up to?
I got four.
Yeah. I mean, we're only at two, so we're still in that, like, we can divide and conquer, you know? Yeah. Like, this past weekend, I was in Coshocton for the one tournament. My husband was in Uniontown, and, like, we just,
Yeah, we have that coming up. Like, Tuesdays and Thursdays, all of a sudden, three of them have, you know, the same time, the same games. Like, you know,
During dinner. We leave our house at 4:30. We get home at, like, 8. When are you going to eat dinner? That's the toughest part.
I know.
Better you than me. All right. And then, you know, you're someone that likes challenges. That's obvious. So I'm sure you've got some big plans on the horizon. Anything you can shed some light on as far as potential upcoming challenges for Aaron Johnson?
I'd like to do some more in-person events with the Outstanding Ohio Group, and then I'm toying with the idea of doing like a realtor-specific Outstanding Ohio Group, like Outstanding Ohio Realtors, to have kind of like a mastermind info sharing something there, but I don't know if I have time for that right now.
There you go, some breaking
news. I'd like to do that.
Coming soon.
If anyone's interested, let me know. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, again, I know you had to rearrange your entire schedule today to be here in studio with us. Really meant a lot. Fantastic insight. I really mean that. That was wonderful. I'm sure people that are looking to buy or sell their house got a lot out of this. Keep up the great work with Outstanding Ohio. I can't wait for the next meeting. And actually, if you want, we're going to get into our top five list. If you want to stick around for this, feel free. We'd love to have you. So,
great. Should be interesting.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting. I'm excited about this one.
I hope I didn't do any of these things.
I don't think you've made the list.
Don't start a Facebook group.
So we're actually, for those of you that have heard the show before, usually Rose and I will each share our top five list on whatever podcast personality. Today we're going to do it a little different. So we're going to talk about our favorite top five marketing mistakes, but we're taking two different roads. Rose is going to talk about marketing mistakes made from the technical side. So maybe when you're building a campaign or a strategy or tactic, something that someone screwed up or can screw up along the way. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to go to the other side of the fence. I'm going to talk about big brands that have deployed a dumpster fire of a campaign.
He's going to call people out. He's
I'm going to call
them
people
under the bus.
Out. Right.
Yep, it's going to be real.
But instead of going back and forth, why don't you go through your list first, and we'll chat about it, and then we'll go through mine.
All right, so I have an honorable mention.
Okay, I like honorable
mention. Okay, so my honorable mention is thinking you're the only one who can do this.
Boy, doesn't that sound familiar.
So, I mean, we've all seen this, right? Agencies or a person or anything. You just think that you're the only one that can do it, and there's not an expert out there to handle it or something like that, so honorable mention.
Okay, that's a good
one. All right.
Boy, if that didn't make your list.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so let's see. Number five, not using a call to action.
That's big.
It's huge.
That's big. Now, in fairness, if it's an awareness campaign.
No, we've talked about this. Even if it's an awareness campaign, there's a call to action. You still want them to do something.
You still need
them
to click.
Maybe you just want them to walk into your store, right? Like, there's always something. All right, next one. No targeting or limited targeting. Not knowing your audience before you put stuff out there, because I personally don't want to see the same refrigerator ad 100 times. I'm not in market for a refrigerator.
That is amazing, and it's so true. From the sales side, I can't tell you how many business owners, no names please, of big brands, right?
No names, please.
You sit down and you ask them, so who's your target audience? Who are we really trying to get in front of here? They'll spew out some nonsense that right off the bat you know is wrong. But then just a little bit of market research tells you that they're completely off base.
Completely.
And these are big brands. And you wonder, how did they get to where they are?
How are they here?
Yes.
Accurate.
Good one.
Totally with you. All right. So next one, lack of testing. So when you're putting campaigns, big campaign, small campaign, mini campaign in market, and you're not testing your creative, your messaging, your day part, whatever that is, You can't optimize. You're not testing. You're throwing stuff at a wall.
Let me ask you this. So very few people do A-B testing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Is it a budget thing?
It could be.
I mean,
time thing, budget thing. And on budget, it can mean several things, right? So maybe they don't have a budget to do the testing. They just have the budget for the campaign. Or maybe they don't feel that there is a need for the testing and are not willing to put those funds in there.
Stubborn.
But there's also a time thing, right? Like, I want to be in market now. How many times have you heard that?
Yes.
Yesterday. So there's a time thing too. But I still think that there's A-B testing you can do. Even if the campaign's fully in market, you could still do A-B testing. And
by A-B testing, we mean, you know, two sets of creative, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a different target audience, slightly variation that you could, you know, different times of the day that you, yeah. there's different ways.
As long as you know that an A-B test is only one difference at a time. That is, that's key. That's important.
Good point.
All right, so serving the wrong message on the wrong platform. I've said this before. Right? What is something, a pet peeve of mine is, you know, saying something the wrong way on the wrong platform.
Mm-hmm.
You don't speak to people the same way you do. You know, a digital ad is connected to TV, is Facebook, is Instagram, and so on.
So you're saying if you're trying to reach an audience that's over 60, don't go to TikTok.
I mean, I don't know. My grandma's not on TikTok. Okay. All right. And the last one, not measuring what matters. And you knew that was going to be there, right?
For
analytics
sure.
is a big, big spot for me. It's a big thing. You know, writing those out in the beginning. What are the KPIs? What is the conversion? What am I trying to get to? And how do I know I'm getting there? If it's awareness, it can still be engagement. There can still be clicks. There can still be other things that you're measuring. So that's my number one.
That is a great, great list.
All right. Very I'm nice. Excited about yours. I can't lie.
Well, I don't know if I can top that.
Oh, come on.
But I think we'll have a little fun with it. All right. So again, top five marketing snafus from, we'll say, major brands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This around the world. I'm not just limiting it to America.
Okay.
So number five. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. I guess I'm kind of cheating a little bit. It was Volkswagen. So if you didn't listen to the first segment, essentially earlier this year on April Fool's Day, Volkswagen put out some campaign that said they were changing their name in the U.S. market to Volts, V-O-L-T-S Wagon, to promote their electric cars. People went apeshit. Investors started freaking out. And the moral of the story is their stock went down by 4%.
No surprise.
So that is very bad. Do not do that. I don't know how a team of people could possibly approve that, but it happened.
Yeah.
Number four, and this is probably number one on everybody's list. I kind of debated on whether to put it on or not, but it's there. New Coke.
Love it.
Everybody remembers the New Coke debacle. What surprised me was it was back in 1985.
What?
Am I that old? 1985.
She said, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the same thing
Thanks,
about Sarah. Myself.
Thanks, Sarah. But yeah, for some reason, I thought it was in the 90s. But 1985.
Yeah, or later in the 80s, yeah.
And, you know, what was impressive, it was during the Cola Wars, if you recall. And the whole thing about Coke was the tradition that they were building on. So what did they do? They changed the entire formula. So ultimately, Pepsi won the Cola Wars. Coke admitted they screwed up, changed back to the original formula. And there it is. So obviously a big one.
Yes.
You're going to like this next one.
All right. Let's hear it.
You ever heard of a company called Electrolux?
No.
They are a Swedish vacuum maker.
Uh-oh.
So it goes back to having the right message for the right audience, right?
Right.
So not all translation blunders have been made by U.S.-based companies. Swedish vacuum maker Electrolux got a quick lesson in English slang when it introduced its product in the United States. Intending to highlight its vacuum's high power, the Scandinavian company's ad campaign boasted, quote, "Nothing sucks like an Electrolux," end of quote. So while the slogan might have actually technically been correct grammatically, kind of never really took off here. So
I can't imagine why.
Yes. Awesome. So I thought that was fitting. So number two, you guys are fans of the Beatles, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, regardless of your age, you got to be a fan. Well, even they are not immune to boneheaded campaigns. So back in 1966, the album Yesterday and Today, and we're talking about the original cover, thrust the world's favorite band into a sick and twisted light that even George Harrison was ashamed of. The idea known as the Butcher cover features dismembered baby dolls with meat cuts strewn all over. It was the Beatles' worst-selling album ever. And shortly thereafter, the cover was reissued, but nevertheless, their worst-selling album ever. Oh, but if you do find one in your closet, it's worth $30,000 if you have the original.
Talk about a marketing blunder.
Even in 1966, that's pretty ballsy. Damn. No? Yeah. Even for the Beatles.
Wow. I mean, I would think then it was even more ballsy.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? Wow.
Chopped up baby doll. Anyway. And then number one, and this probably isn't going to make anybody else list, but it personally bothered me, so I put it on there.
It bothered you. Okay.
Apple. And more specifically, the band U2, which, by the way, happens to be the worst band on the face of planet Earth.
Nope. Mm-mm.
So a couple years ago, if you recall, Apple cut a $100 million deal with YouTube's distributor and force-fed us their entire album onto 500 million Apple devices. They downloaded
it. Oh, my gosh, I remember this.
Without asking anyone.
And it would come on randomly, and you didn't know how to turn it off.
The worst part, they wouldn't let you delete it.
You can delete it either.
All 12 songs.
Wow.
They made you keep.
Oh, my gosh, I remember this.
How awful was it? I was so pissed off.
This is terrible.
Is it not awful? Like, I get it, you know, but there's like, how could you two, all right, from a artist perspective, how would they sign off on this? Well, I guess there's $100 million reasons why.
Yeah.
But man, I'm guessing that turned up. Like, I hated U2 before, and that just kind of, you know, any chance I get to take a shot at them, I will because of this campaign.
Wow. You know, it's funny because I do remember this. I remember getting a new, and I remember I couldn't turn the dang thing off. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Where is the music coming from? And then I find it on my phone and I try to delete it and I can't. I had no idea it was a marketing blunder.
It was intentional. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, shame on them.
So there it is. And I got to tell you, I had a blast researching
these, were good.
These top five. So, you know.
These were good.
Could have gone a different direction, but I think we handled it well. Well, that's it. That's a wrap. Couple things real quick for anyone that wants to reach out to us for any reason. You can go to yourbusinessmarketer.com, click the podcast tab. There you can submit questions, comments, ideas for the show, people that you want to hear be interviewed perhaps. You could also get updates on the next podcast drop, links to all the platforms that we're on. But thank you if you're tuning in. We appreciate the support. Again, a special thanks to Aaron Johnson for joining us tonight. Just an amazing interview. Continued success for you.
Thank you.
And Rose, anybody wants to track you down, how can they do it?
Yeah, as always, alongside Greg, I'm your media maven, Rose Browning, director of media, Innes Majori. If you want to work with me or find out more, go to InnesMajori.com.
There you have it. And that brings us to another wrap. We will see you next time.
Bye.